Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Let me reach for my health savior right here. This product saved my life. It doesn't cure anything, but it's an immune system booster to unbelievable levels. It's restorative, it's preventative, and it can help you the same way it helped me. I don't think I'd be here right now if it wasn't for this product. How do you get yours? How do you find out more? Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. And I thanks to the Nanosoma Spray people for sponsoring this particular segment. We have a fundamental question now. Actually, a couple of questions to answer. One, conspiracy or coincidence? And how many coincidences does it take to make a conspiracy that's valid? Conspiracy fact, not conspiracy theory. And when does psychology become a psyop? Another question I think we need to consider, given what we're going to talk about. And last question, fact or false flag? These are the fundamental things that come to my mind when we see what is happening with not one, but two Afghan nationals within a few days of each other, sharing certain common characteristics, even the same travel patterns. This is pretty frightening to think that we could be sitting on a ticking time bomb. And let me remind you about the congressional hearings that came out about MKUltra, about psyops, altering people's perceptions, ultimately behaviors, attitudes, and so forth. Let's not forget that. And let's not forget the agency involved. It had three letters. And it starts with the average grade of C. It ends with the excellent grade of A. This is unbelievable. We have to report this in America. We have deviated so far from who we are meant to be, who we're supposed to be, and what the founding fathers handed us on a silver platter. All right, let's get down to it. We have a man who at the age of 15 worked for the CIA in clandestine operations. Age of 15. We're not sure how long the service went on, but we think it was probably somewhere between 10 and 12 years. We're not sure. But it wasn't 6 months, deliver some mail, and you're done. Here's your check. Thank you very much. It wasn't that way at all. This was an embedded person inside CIA structure in a war zone. And what does this person do? This father of five, married, travels across the country to assassinate two National Guard members. And here's where it gets really weird. Now, this has been scrubbed, but it was there. But people that went back and did search engine search, more than one person reported this and showed the receipts. There was research on Sarah, the fallen National Guard person. 20 years old, her whole life ahead of her. And when did this search occur? The day before. And that search wasn't done in this country, and I'll leave it to your imagination. This is like Rod Serling Twilight Zone, imagine if you will. A man who travels across the country, and just the day before, his victim that he killed was on an internet search from a foreign country. Coincidence or conspiracy? We could do a show titled that. Coincidence or conspiracy? Okay. That's one. Number two. If that wasn't bizarre enough, now we have another Afghan national with the same employment history with the same people who, again, was just let into the country without any vetting by the Biden administration. And that's just the popular mantra of Fox News. But hello, Fox, We do our homework here. You're just doing superficial talking points that you're told to present. This is why I refer to you as the controlled opposition. So you have a man who travels across the country, whose intention, but fortunately he was stopped, was to blow up part of Fort Worth. Same demographics, same employment history, relatively the same kind of travel pattern. Now, we don't have any pre-internet searches on this person prior to. But this is just outside bizarre. Now, we have two of these factors, two variables of randomized violence and intended violence that parallel each other. Okay. What are we to conclude from this? Is it psychology? Because they're now saying the first guy was mentally ill, and the same assumptions are being made about John Doe Afghan number two. Psychology or psyop? Is it fact or is it false flag? It has to be considered, but I don't think it's proven, that we're stirring up emotions against Muslims in much the same manner we did after 9/11. To get us to accept without question the biggest invasion into American privacy and civil rights ever, Patriot Acts 1 and 2. Oh, yeah, please do whatever it takes to keep us safe. You know, the Ben Franklin quote comes in, those that would give up liberty for a little bit of security neither deserve or will get neither. And that's really going to be the case here, too. But we accepted the Patriot Act post 9/11. What are we being programmed to accept here if you don't buy the coincidence part? And it could be a coincidence. I'm waiting for Afghan number three. Well, I don't have all the answers to these questions, but I think they need to be raised, because to think that we're going to be so naive to think that our attitudes won't be manipulated to maybe accept a foreign war of occupation with boots on the ground that affect the young people, you know, like the ones that attended TPUSA rallies at college campuses across the country. Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't have a lot of the answers, but I'm in the process setting up an interview with a gentleman named Adam Hartage. I've interviewed Adam before. He's a really good interview, very bright, and his background is incredible. A CIA analyst. We're going to be following up with this. This is something that we're going to talk to Adam about. And he's agreed to talk about this. We're just trying to work out the details and the times. We're hoping it'll be sometime later this week. And we're going to air this, because maybe by then we will have a number three. I don't know. But I'm disturbed by this, because if it's a coincidence, it's one hell of a coincidence. But if it's not a coincidence, we're being manipulated to accept something that we should never accept, like another Vietnam. What do you think? Tell me your thoughts on this. And it could be that these are just a harmless set of coincidences, and Adam will confirm that. And we can just go on life as usual and say, so tragic for Sarah. She gave her life following orders, doing what she's supposed to be doing. And we can mourn her loss, but there's nothing more to it than that. That's actually what I'm hoping we'll find. But I've been doing this a long time, long enough to know that these are the kinds of things that need to be looked at more than once. If you haven't signed up for our newsletter, you should, because it's one-stop shopping for the multiple presentations we do each day, and it comes to you in one solidified, compartmentalized email with everything we do in the previous 24 hours. It's free, and over 50,000 people are doing it, and all we need is your email. Go to thecommonsenseshow.com, click on the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner, put in your email. Now, we do ask your name and stuff. You don't have to put anything else. Just put your email, and you'll end up getting yours at the latest the very next day. If you're early enough in the day, you'll get it on the same day. This is really a worthy investment that doesn't cost anything. We'll see you back here next time. Thank you for joining us. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. Hey, we are brought to you by the Nanosoma products. You know, this brought me back from death's doorstep. This doesn't cure anything, the Nanosoma spray. 5 sprays once a day, or you can do it as much as you need because it's all natural. But this boosts the immune system like no one's business. I owe this my life. Then there's the Nanosoma liquid gel that you rub on your joints. And over time, you're going to start to see a reduction in symptomology because pluripotent stem cells are coming. That's right. For me, it took 2 to 3 months. And then there's the cream. Fine lines and wrinkles, but this is how I used it. You remember when you saw me with a big, big bandage here? I needed 4 to 6 stitches. Cut it wide open. I don't want to go through the trouble. Don't want to go to the ER because it was on a Friday night. So I said, I'll just put this cream on. I'll wrap it up in a couple of weeks. It'll be fine. And it was. Together, this is the starter pack. 15% off. It's tremendous. I swear by it. You will too. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, I have a question for you, America. What if everybody in the country made the same money? Have you ever thought of that? Now, there's a lot of other implications in there, and I'm going to hit some of them as we go. But this is a very intriguing question. It caught my imagination. Someone who's taught some economics, this is really, really interesting. And then how would you do such a thing? And could it even work over any period of time? Government has the ability, if they so were so inclined and weren't influenced by the rich, to redistribute the wealth to where it would all be equal. But would it stay that way? We're going to take a look at all that right here on The Common Sense Show, and let's get started right now. Well, the combined wealth of America right now is about $161 trillion. That's our net worth as a nation. When you divide it up, it's pretty paltry. The total net worth on the median, that means 50% above and 50% below, that's about $192,000. And you're going, well, that's not terrible. In some countries, that'd be great. But in America, well, I thought it would be higher than that. That's what most people think. And that's because the billionaire class owns 30% of the economy. Now, Trump's policies aren't helping them at all. People say they don't pay tax. Well, whatever evasive techniques they use aren't the result of Donald Trump. And I'm not here to be his apologist, but I'm telling you, those criticisms fund the people, not the billionaires. Well, thing is when government has projects and works, who gets it? Big companies. Who owns them? Billionaires. What about the recent rage, AI, right? AI has doubled the billionaires in Silicon Valley. So this is where opportunity meets income. And this, in part, accounts for some of the economic discrepancy. And some people just have a hard time realizing somebody smarter than you, somebody outworked you, somebody had a better strategy than you did approaching life. I will tell you this. If you think you're going to work for someone else and make a hell of a lot of money, you better be an actor, an actress, a professional athlete. Because you don't get rich working for other people. Oh, you can have a nice income with those exceptions I just mentioned, but you're not going to be rich. The old philosophy is, I'd rather have 1% of 100 people than 100% of one person. Because some people are going to begin to outproduce others, and your 100% will grow beyond that number. Okay, let's get into the distribution aspect of it. If you were to evenly divide the money in America, This is really interesting. And there was a way to do it. I'll talk about the possible ways they could do it. But if you were to do this, the average person would make almost $500,000 a year. And that's for every man, woman, child, infant, gay person on life support. Anyone who's alive would make almost $500,000 per year. How would that affect the economy? Oh my goodness gracious. People would pay off their debts, their loans, all kinds of good things would happen. People would be able to go to the trade school, the college that they could qualify to get into, but income keeps them out. That would all disappear. That would all disappear. We would have a huge upsurge in consumer spending. The economy would be hell on wheels. However, we'd have more inflation. So although we'd be doing well and we could tolerate the inflation to some level, the world economy cannot. Because what would the Federal Reserve do as inflation went up? Well, so would interest rates. And those international loans that our big five make here in America to foreign entities, the cost of that loan would go up. If you go from 5% to 8%, that's the percentage of increase you're going to pay on a loan. That's a lot. That would hurt global expansion. Now you'd say, well, Dave, that means America could move ahead of the rest of the world. Yes, but because we're an interdependent economy on this planet, you have to have someone to trade with. You have to have someone that can afford to buy your goods. Oh, did the light just come on? Okay, so it wouldn't be good for the global economy, but in the short term, 2, 5, at the most 10 years, it'd be a golden age, as Donald Trump likes to say, for America. Okay, let's go down this rabbit hole a little further. How would you do such a thing? How would you accomplish? Well, you have to look at where the billionaires have their money. It's not in the bank. Hello, are you listening to me? How many times have I told you? Keep operating capital in the bank and put your money to work in other areas. Now, if you're not an investor, then you buy gold, silver, and get into Bitcoin. It's that simple. You're not going to make money with the dollar. Dollar is a losing proposition. The dollar is what you have to use to transact business in America, so you keep operating capital in the bank. I digress, but it proves my point. Now, where do the wealthy have that money if it's not in the banks? It's in the stock market. It's in other investments. It's in equities. It's in loans. The government could do, boy, this would not be popular with the rich, but the government could do a one-time wealth tax. And the money would be evenly distributed. Oh. Well, okay. Let me ask you a question. Those lobbyists that are in Congress right now, the ones that are knocking on all those doors today and saying, hey, we need favorable policies here because our healthy company makes for a healthy America. You better do this. And by the way, here's your campaign donation if you do it. It is a system of bribery. Now, the chances that are happen are slim and none, and slim is left out. It's possible. But I don't see the rich agreeing to it. And those lobbyists, who do they represent? You? Yeah. Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? They represent the billionaires, the megalithic corporations. You know, one of the things that people aren't talking about in the media because the media is owned by them, when the USA fraud, waste, and abuse was found out, in part, who'd that money go to? Enrich. It's, and I'm not making an accusation these people did anything wrong. I think USA cause create a lot of fraud, but I'm not saying the people who are really wealthy did this. There's no proof. Innocent until proven guilty. And they put the brakes on USAID stopping, didn't it? They put the brakes on stopping foreign aid, didn't they? Even Donald Trump. is prone to these pressures. And let me give you another thought here too. Even if you could do a one-time wealth transfer tax, would it stay that way? Think of it as a track meet. You line up all your runners. You have eight runners for eight lanes. And they're all starting out at the same place. Total equality. America's living out its dream of starting out in the same place. And let's say they're going to run the 100-meter dash. Would they all finish at the same time? Does an equal starting place equate to uniformity in times ran? No, it doesn't. Some people are going to move ahead of others. Well, if you take that analogy and apply it to the business world, there are people, again, they're going to figure out how to make more money. Now, some people have retired after this wealth transfer tax. They're living the good life. And some people are going to continue to work. And you're going to eventually end up with wealth inequality. It's inevitable. So it's not a long-term solution. It's a reset to try to spur the economy. And it's a reset that the rich will say, oh, really? You want to take my money? Well, you know what? Uruguay is looking really good right now, and I think I'm going to take my money there. There is actually a company out there that works with the wealthy, and you got to be a multimillionaire. And they will hunt for where you can get good passports. They will hunt for where you'll have the lowest tax rate. And they'll hunt for people that like Americans. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Anyway, I thought I would just share this with you. At the bottom line here, and I'm not going to belabor this point, but this would be the ultimate communist move. Would it not? And what I just told you, would it work for long? No. And the same people that got rich would get rich again because they have the work habits and the strategies and the people behind them to make it happen. So wealth redistribution is not an answer. And yet people want to elect Mondami in New York. He's a communist. And I'm not insulting. I'm not saying, well, he's a terrible person. That's not what's being said here. I'm saying, economically speaking, his views are Stalinist, they're Marxist, they're communist. He doesn't want to have private property. Do I have to say any more? And it's antithetical to our constitutional system with the Fifth Amendment and property rights, right? And that's just one thing about him. How could we embrace someone like that for office? How could 35% of New Yorkers identify as socialists? If they only knew how economics worked, they would never call for such a thing. If you want to give people an equal starting point that doesn't disrupt the economy and is only temporary, you don't have to take money away from one group and give it to another. You simply have to educate the masses. Why do you think the Ivy League schools are so darned expensive? Well, let's talk about the advantages. Remember the show Suits? They'd only hire lawyers from Harvard. Why? It's obvious why. The Ivy League graduates have people lining up. Now, it's interesting. If you just look at law schools, about 10% of jobs come out of employer visitations to college campuses in law schools. But if it's the Ivy League, it's probably over 50. So the rich said, well, we want these institutions, you know, for our kids. How do we keep the riffraff out so they can't compete with our kids? Riffraff would be their term, not mine. I'd be riffed. You might be raffed. Well, the way they do it is to make the school so darned expensive that your kid can't afford to go there. Interesting, isn't it? Why is it so expensive to become a lawyer or a doctor? I can understand some extra expense because you're in school a little bit longer. But why is a law degree about three times more expensive than master's degree programs you can find, which are generally 2 and 3 year programs? Because a law degree is going to pay more than most graduate schooled people. That's why. They rig the system to favor their own. It's that simple. Why do you think that kings and queens existed? It's not because they were closer to God, that's for sure. It's so they could have the royal line and keep power in the family. And if you keep power, then you keep wealth. Same strategy, just a different venue. The bottom line is this, and this is what we're failing, in my humble opinion, to teach our kids across the board. There's some educators that do it. There are some parents that do it, but not enough. We have an entitled generation that thinks because you walk into a McDonald's, you deserve $20 an hour. That's a joke. Those were never meant to be self-sustaining jobs. They're entry-level employment, stopgap measures, an extra job to supplement a bad income. That's what. So what's happened to the price of fast food? I don't know. I don't go there. One, I'm not convinced it's healthy. That's a pretty accurate bet. Number two, they're too darned expensive. It's just as much to eat in a McDonald's as it is most sit-down restaurants, unless it's an elite restaurant. People don't understand money. People don't understand that you have to work for what you get. And there are economic principles involved in how you become better than the average. Now, there's nothing wrong with being average. But some of those average people get to the end of their life and they're sitting on their rocking chair on their front porch telling people, as all most old people do, tell their life story, how they got to where they are. And how they regret not having gone farther, even though they probably had opportunities at some point. That's why. And this is what we should be teaching our kids. We should be teaching them how to make money. Why don't we do that in school? You notice that? One of the things we don't teach, too, is how to have relationships. What makes a successful marriage? What's a cycle of love? It's only 4.5 years. It all comes back. But there's other things involved in that. I should probably do a story on that sometime. Maybe I'll do it today. But we don't teach people about relationships. We don't teach people about money. We do give them some useful information that can aid them in their careers, aid them in becoming a more productive citizen. But we don't really teach them the essentials on how they get ahead. And it's hard to believe that since Carnegie and Rockefeller set this system up, John Dewey, okay, but who do you think he was taking money from? So what did Rockefeller and Carnegie want? Well, they both said it. They had this huge mass of immigrants from Europe to work in the factories. They needed the manpower, so they had to have immigration. And they wanted immigrants who were, shall we say, hardworking, desperate, and smart enough to do their job, sixth grade education, but not so smart they'd ever challenge authority. That's interesting, isn't it? So back to the original question. Is it possible to equalize wealth in America? On paper, it's possible. In reality, it'll never happen. And anyone who votes for a politician that says this is going to happen. Now, if they're saying, we're going to eliminate this tax loophole. If you take your money out of the country, we're going to have an exit tax. You're not going to go to a bank and hide it and hide your international income and not pay tax on it like everyone else would have to. See, that's a different matter. That's not the same thing we're talking about where we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. But that's what most revolutions promise, isn't it? You are the downtrodden. We are here to fix it for you. No, you're not. The person having the revolution wants to replace the money class so they can get their money and then make the people who think they're going to get money not get money, continue to work to enrich the people who started the revolution. It's the same pattern every time. So, do we even want to think about doing that? Well, I suppose there's some pie in the sky and green apples on the moon. I just don't think we'll ever see them. My name is Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Welcome back to another segment of the show. We are the show, as you'll discover, freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. But with your help, if you would share, because we're on nothing but digital platforms, you could really increase that to 1 million enslaved mind at a time. And we need to do that. First, we need to wake the people up. And then we need to go to collective action. And I don't know that we have a lot of time because we are going to be talking about something here where the walls are closing in. And we're going to answer the fundamental question. Is it going to be a civil war or is it going to be a revolution? And the answer is really easy, but and when you look at it, but a lot of people just, they don't know. I mean, what's the difference between the two? We're going to cover that for you right here. Now, I often say to get through the coming trying times, you need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools, and the Bible, of course, and hopefully a pocket constitution for the rebuild. That's right. I think it's going to get that bad. I really do. Our sponsor today fits right into your need for preparation. You can save $247 at My Patriot Supply. Prepare today, rest easier tomorrow. Your family's survival shouldn't depend on the government because you will sadly be let down. You can get a free month of emergency food. Claim your free four-week food kit at $247 value. And with it, you get fast and free shipping. You get something that lasts up to 25 years, tastes great. And it's been used and trusted by millions. Get on the right side of preparation. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Well, we have all the precursors for violence, widespread, organized violence in our society. The fundamental question comes down to whether it'll be a civil war. That's one group against another or multiple groups against each other. Or will it be a revolution? And what distinguishes between the two events is a civil war is between factions. A revolution is against the power establishment. Now, if you're the oligarchs and you have perpetuated a system in which 60% of the country or more lives paycheck to paycheck, 70% can't afford a $500 car repair bill, 98 million Americans, or 30%, are at or below the poverty level. And we've just witnessed one of the greatest wealth redistributions of all time and more to come with what's coming with the digital age, the digital dollar, the digital whatever. It's going to get worse. 1% of the country controls about 32 to 33% of the wealth. I could keep quoting the statistics, but these are very big predictors of conflict in a society. So are the people going to rebel against the perpetrators of this mess, the power behind the politicians you see on TV? Politicians don't make many decisions that matter. They do what they're told or they don't stay in power. It's the oligarchs that are running the show from behind the scenes. And they put watchdogs in place like Susie Wiles, chief of staff to President Trump. Great example. Lindsey Graham, prominent senator. Ted Cruz, prominent senator. These are all the watchdogs, are the example of the watchdogs that are put into power to keep everybody else in line. Now, coming down to the fundamental question, what kind of conflict will this be? Well, if the people were to organize and to go after the oligarchs, that would be a revolution. But to get to the oligarchs, you got to go through the military. You got to go through the power structure. You got to make sure you don't lose essential services like the grid, the food supply, the supply chain, on and on. A civil war is more preferable to the elite. Think about it. A revolution would be aimed at them. A civil war would be one faction against another. And we see this in our society on a daily basis where the media perpetrates the myth it's one group versus the other. We can have differences and still work for the common good. But if we have even one difference, you can't work with that person. I hate my neighbor because they voted the wrong way. I mean, this is the kind of myth that we have perpetrated here. And so we have these artificial constructs of conflict like gay versus straight, white versus black, another race versus another race, one religion versus another religion, poor versus rich, rich versus poor. I mean, you could go on and on and on with this. It's right versus left, Democrat versus Republican, red versus blue. Really, what it comes down to, the ultimate conflict is evil versus good, Satan versus Jesus, if you really want to break it down to the common denominator. Now, when we look at what the oligarchs want and what they'll push us to, if there has to be conflict to cover up and suppress the people who are going to stand up and rebel against these, shall we say, income inequalities. Let me give you one other stat here I found remarkable. If you go back 30 years ago, the CEO ratio to the average worker in a corporation was about, what was it, 42 to 1. Today, it's 331 to 1. People have had it. They've had it. And as tragic as it was, and this man did not deserve his fate, but the former CEO of United Healthcare that was gunned down in New York City, it's an example of the anger people are feeling. Totally inappropriate response. But this represents a growing sentiment that people have, and the oligarchs fear it. This is why they're building the bunkers. It's why they have their getaway places. They have helicopters on demand ready to extricate, well, to remove them from the scene. This is something that, you know, if you look at the rich and famous and who's prepared and who's not, you hear these kinds of, this is what we have to do if trouble breaks out. That's right. They don't have as much security as the president. Some of them have more. Because they know bad things are coming. Because the people aren't going to tolerate this forever. And eventually they fear the people are going to forget their differences between each other and focus on a singular problem. But right now, with the conflict the way it's going, we're going to have a civil war. And I think it's unpredictable. It's not going to be like the Mason-Dixon line, you know, North versus South, 1861. That's not going to happen that way. You've got red cities, you've got blue cities, you've got all these other divisions, and you almost don't need uniforms because they're making this so racial, it's unbelievable. Everything that's a conflict has to have a racial component behind it. It's called divide and conquer. And if they can keep us there, we'll fight with each other and not go after them. So people ask me the question, Dave, do you think it'll be a civil war or a revolution? If we come to that level, and we're approaching this economically very quickly, but if we come to that level, it'll definitely be a civil war because we'll be directed into it. The other thing, too, that I think you have to realize is the insistence and the breakneck speed that we're moving towards 15-minute cities, digital ID. I mean, now, if you don't have your digital ID on you at the airport, you're trying to go through a line, TSA can fine you $45. Why do they want everything digitized? Because if they can digitize your money, they've digitized you. They control your assets. They can control your behavior. It's called threat elimination. This is the whole purpose behind this, is to control us so we don't rise up and say, no, we're not doing that. You're not going to confine us to a 400-square-foot apartment in a 15-minute city like they do in Birmingham, Alabama. Yesterday, I identified 21 cities that are part of this problem. Well, the problem is here. Is there a way around this? Well, I believe in the power of prayer, and prayer in mass is very powerful, and perhaps the Lord can find solutions if we open the door to him. Short of that, what's the human solution? I don't know that there is one. You could have indoctrination from our side. We share the truth, and then we suggest common actions. And there's things we can do on a nonviolent basis to bring their system to their knees, but we will suffer in the meantime. Not an easy solution here. So what do we do? I'd say you get on your knees and pray. And prepare. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools, the Bible, the Constitution. These are your essentials. There's more you're going to need. You're going to need a sense of community. You can't do this alone. You're going to have to form alliances with people for just survival purposes for what's coming. And you sure as hell don't want to be in the middle of a big city, particularly a blue city. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Sign up for our newsletter by going to thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link, put your email in, and you'll get your compilation of everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. It's free, and over 50,000 people are doing it. We're going to take a look in this particular presentation, in this segment. We're going to look at briefly Elon Musk and a statement he made that I think we can extract a lot of meaning out of. My name is Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. We are brought to you by the Nanosoma products. And I've got to tell you, folks, I owe my life to these products. And if you follow up, if you allow this to become part of your life, you will too. You got the starter pack, 15% off, and you get three liquid sprays. That's what brought me back from strip lung linings and RSV when nothing else was working. You get the gel that I use for bone on bone because it produces pluripotent stem cells. And then, of course, you get the Nanosoma skin cream that reduces fine lines and wrinkles, but also good for cuts and burns. You may remember in my cut, 6 inches, 6 stitches, possible. Didn't need stitches because I used this for 2 weeks. All this together is the starter pack. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Okay, we're taking a look at Elon Musk, and I want to read his quote here. He's talking about the Charlie Kirk investigation, the lack of trust that the public is having for the FBI investigation. And he just boldly and bluntly said, and I quote, "The truth doesn't hide forever." And he, like Joe Rogan, has left a lot of likes on Candace Owens' posts. There you go. He's showing you where he falls on this. And he's right about the truth not hiding forever. You know, people, let me just point out some of the more just egregious things that Elon Musk is obviously referring to. As soon as Charlie shot, cameras taken down, SIM cards taken out. That's obstruction of justice. That's interfering in a crime scene. We never saw any police tape. No yellow tape. There were 6 police officers there. No yellow tape. No rooftop surveillance. Joe Rogan talked about that. No drones in the air. Joe Rogan talked about that. So is Candace, so have I, so have a lot of people. Elon Musk is obviously referring to that as well. You have the George Zinn antics and who he is and what he represents. You have the internet searches that 2 months before the assassination, they're looking up the doctors in the hospital where they took Charlie, as well as who the Utah medical examiner is, as well as the judge and his predecessor before this judge came in, and this is his first major case. How interesting is that? And where did the internet searches emanate from? D.C. and Tel Aviv. We could go on and on and on with this information. But the reality is this. Joe Rogan, Candace Owens, and a host of other people like Marjorie Taylor Greene aren't believing the BS of the FBI investigation. Now, I don't think that Kash Patel is corrupt. I really don't. he's being made to stand down and pursue these blind alley angles, and he's calling people like us now anarchists? Are you kidding me? Well, Cash, that's not endearing you to the people who are calling you out for your nonsense. We know you're being forced to do this. And we think we know why, and we've talked about this. Elon knows, Joe knows, Candace knows, I know, and America is finding out. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Welcome to another segment of The Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. We're the show, freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. I'm the host. I want to thank you so much for your support. Many of you are contributing to our Patreon movement. We put every dime back into the program. We do appreciate your support. And if you've not signed up for our newsletter, you should. Over 50,000 people have signed up. It's free. But here's the advantage. Multiple publications a day, you don't have to keep coming back. You simply got to get an email. That's it. It's easy, right? Go to thecommonsenseshow.com, click on the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner, and click that on. We're brought to you by something that I really want to bring to your attention here. And it's been a while since I've talked about this. And you can see save the 25%. But basically, it's Cyber Monday extended for Body Align. But it's not going to last very long. And these are frequency-based products, which is all the rage in healthcare, and particularly in natural healthcare. And I use two of them, the patch on the back of the phone to negate the EMF waves. I don't want to die of glioblastoma. And then, of course, you've got the pain patch, the sleep patch, which I fortunately do not need, but you have the energy band. Don't wear it to bed. It works, and it gets me through the day sometimes when I've had sleepless nights. All frequency-based, all safe, all natural, 30-day money-back guarantee. Buy one, get one free for a short time only. Go to bodyaligned.com. That's bodyaligned.com/Dave Hodges. One more time, bodyaligned.com/Dave Hodges. We have just witnessed the discovery of the biggest fraud in the history of the United States with regard to political oversight. Watergate, that's nothing compared to this. Name another scandal of lying us into the Vietnam War or the Iraq War. That's, except for the loss of life, which is tragic, we're looking at this is on a much grander scale. You're talking about one state out of 50 has committed fraud to such a level we can't even calculate. Let me tell you what the estimates are. The mainstream media, is particularly on the left, is trying to minimize the damage by underestimating the damage. They're calling it a $1 billion fraud. The people that I'm looking at and talking to and have read their stuff, they're saying we'll be lucky if it's contained to $10 billion. Now, what's behind this fraud that took place under the watch and responsibility of Governor Tim Walz, former vice presidential candidate running with Kamala Harris? He's responsible. And as there were whistleblowers that tried to blow the whistle on this, this is the part that I think he should probably be looked at for criminal indictment and prosecution. He intimidated whistleblowers and their families. Now, this is what's being reported, and it's not being reported in some obscure corner of the internet. Some of this is appearing in mainstream media, and they're interviewing some of the people that were whistleblowers and were faced with intimidation directly from the governor's office. And he refuses to answer the questions. He twists and turns and juxtaposes. I mean, here's what he's asked. Governor Walz, whose responsibility was this? Well, the governor can't oversee everything. It's just our duty to put people in jail who break the law. And those words might come back to haunt you. Remember, when you're pointing one finger at somebody, you got three pointing back at you. That's Tim Walz's legacy right now as it exists. This man is a walking, talking model of corruption. This was solely on his watch. Now, what was at work here? You have a restaurant named Safari, run by Somali immigrants. Now, if you know anything about Somali, they don't even have a national government. They have warlords. It's a society in total and absolute chaos. But I, what is it I read in the Minneapolis area? They have, what, 80,000 Somalis from this kind of an environment where law and order is a strange phenomenon to them. So I'm not surprised that this ran. Now, the guy that was running it was actually kicked out of the SNAP program. That's, you know, food stamps, basically. The SNAP program, he was kicked out of this 10 years ago. But the state of Minnesota saw fit to give him control of these contracts where they claimed they were feeding tens of thousands of poor kids. And the safari restaurant was doing it. But the safari restaurant's owned and operated by Somalis. And now researchers have found out and investigators have found out that this money was going to buy cars, lavish homes, pay for expensive trips, you know, all the typical misuse of money that we've seen before with politicians. But this is on a scale that for a state budget, you can't even estimate how much damage this is going to do. This is money not going into the schools. This is money not going to feed the kids who needed to be fed. This is money not going into roads and highways and infrastructure repair, maintenance of the grid. Nothing is getting done in Minnesota right now. And, you know, Sarah Westall is from Minnesota and she's beside herself. This is just fraud on a scale we have never seen from a governor. And we've seen some bad governors. We've seen some bad governors. We've seen them kicked out for taking kickbacks from construction companies and things like this. But I don't know that we've ever seen fraud on this level. Now, some of the things that are floating around Newsom, we'll see if he can walk away from this. But people are going after him for the homeless fundraising that was done, you know, feed LA, you know, put out the fires in LA, rebuild LA. Not one track has been laid for the super trains. They have a lot of money being spent there too. So number two could be Gavin Newsom. We'll see. I mean, there may be a perfectly innocent explanation, but there's a lot of money involved in California too. $10 billion is a minimum is what I've been told. $10 billion. Do you know what that does to a state budget? I mean, even if you were populous, you know, a huge population, 40 million people like California, that'd still be one heck of a debt. For a state like Minnesota, this is ruination. And it could be a generational case of ruination. How are they going to make that money up? Well, the short answer is they can't. What's going to happen to Tim Walz? Well, that depends on the kind of judges that they have and how angry or not angry or how much in cover-up mode they are, because we've seen the rise of political judges in America now. So he may be shielded from this, but is he guilty of a crime that could end up being federally prosecuted? Again, you got the same jurisdictional challenges. So he may walk away from this. If the Trump people are smart, and they are smart, they'll use this politically right up until the midterms. Is this what you want to vote for? Is this where you want your money going to illegal immigrants? By the way, Trump knew something before this went down, and I'll tell you how I know. He eliminated the TPS for Somalis in that region. Temporary protective status. Can't deport them because maybe we're going to do something productive with them, but we'll leave that open and in limbo for in perpetuity. In other words, we're not going to do anything at all. Trump eliminated that prior to this scandal breaking. He knew this was coming. What actions will he take? Good question. Tim Walz better be sucking up to the judges and he better be getting his legal team together because the mood in Minnesota is not good. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time.